Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate this day as a gift from God.
Thank you.
Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End on this second Sunday in Lent. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we would like to extend the hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. We'll extend that when we wish you the peace of Christ later, but also we would hope that you'd have an opportunity to stay after and visit with us and let us express our hope that you will be part of us. Now, one way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing through this congregation. If you look in your bulletin insert, you will see lots of ways to do that. I'm going to lift up a few. Today at 4:30 here in the sanctuary is our choral vesper service. I know many of you have marked this on your calendars. If you haven't, let me encourage you to do so. It's going to be a very special event, and Jonathan Carl, who came out of this congregation, was part of the Tennessee Conference, now served in the Memphis Conference, soon moving to Minnesota, will be here to help lead that service. And we're very proud of Jonathan and glad he can be with us this afternoon at 4:30. Also, Wednesday night dinner, lots of programs. You can read about those in the bulletin. We have a new caterer, Barley to Rise. They're the same folks who do the lunches for the Thursday noon meals. Come and try it out. But before you come for dinner, be sure and make a reservation by Tuesday noon. It really helps us to know how many people to expect. But we would love for you to get involved. Our study book, Restored by Tom Berlin, is being studied by some Sunday school classes, but we also have a Wednesday night class that follows chapter by chapter. That's at 6 p.m. in room 310. You may want to come for dinner and stay for that Restored class during the season of Lent. Don't forget that our Thursday concert series continues through Lent. It begins at noon with lunch served around 12:30. Our goal is to get you in and out within an hour. This week, the recital will be given by our own Matt Phelps, and so I know you will want to be here for that. Please make a reservation for that as well. It really, really, really helps. So on the small insert in your bulletin, on one side, you'll see a save the date for April 1st for our great day of service, our potato drop. I hope you'll join us for that. We had a great time last year. I'm sure we will again this year. And on the opposite side is the announcement about Elizabeth Ellis coming here to offer a storytelling concert. Elizabeth is an internationally known storyteller. She's been a friend of mine for many, many, many years. This is her second time to visit us at West End since I've been here. If you heard her before, I know you'll be back. If you haven't heard her before, let me encourage you to come. That's in McWhorter Hall, 7 p.m. this coming Saturday. Actually, go home and put this up on your refrigerator. After Saturday, you can turn it over. It'll be a reminder about the potato drop. You ever wonder what to do with people who just don't like you? Maybe there's no one in your life who just doesn't like you. But in case there is, stick around. We're going to talk about that a little later.
Thank you. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, all the people of the land, from the east to the west, from the north to the south, shall praise God's holy name. In the cross of Christ, we find forgiveness and grace. Let us confess our sins, trusting in God's love and mercy, as we pray in one voice. Merciful God, how fickle we are. We sin against you without even knowing it. Forgive us from failing to honor all our relationships. Help us to speak words of blessing and kindness, rather than words that belittle and destroy. Forgive us for thinking everything depends on our efforts and power. Help us to depend on you alone and to rest in your peace. Brothers and sisters, through Christ we are forgiven and set free to live in faithfulness with God and with one another. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Scott McLean Douglas and Lauren Williams Douglas bring their daughter, Anne Towery Douglas, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth in water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without Christ. Lauren Scott, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Anne Towery in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
And to the congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, affirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith, in life, and include this child now before you in your care?
With God, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child
with love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Will you come to me, sweetheart? Will you come to me? Hi. What name is given this child?
Anne Towery.
Anne Towery, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want to, you may lay hands on her. Anne Towery, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Okay, you get to go back to Mommy. Here we go. And if you all will come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face Anne Towery? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Anne Towery to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Anne Towery, and we welcome you in Christian love. as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Please join me as we pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear the cobwebs from our ears. We know that you can, we pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
may be seated, and I'll invite the children to come forward. It's a little different from our usual pattern, but you can come on down. If it's more comfortable for you to bring a parent or grandparent or friend, that's perfectly all right. Just come on down and have a seat with us. It's always such a treat for me when you all sing, I have to say. It's always a treat just to look out and see your faces, but it's a special treat to hear your voices and to hear you sing as well. This coming Friday is a really important day in the Christian year, but it's also a kind of special day in the regular world. It's the feast day of St. Patrick of Ireland, the 17th of March. Now, all I knew growing up was that you should wear green so somebody wouldn't pinch you. That's all I knew about the day. But there's a lot more to know. In the first place, St. Patrick was not from Ireland. He was born in Britain, what we would now call England. And he grew up, and when he was 16, when he was a teenager, a ship came over from Ireland, and a group of people who were there gathering slaves captured him, took him to Ireland, and turned him into a slave. And for 6 years, he worked for a sheep owner. He kept the sheep for this farmer, and he was his slave. He had to do whatever the farmer said. He could not leave. He had to keep watch over the sheep. So for 6 years, he was forced to do that kind of work, until one night he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a ship that was sailing from Ireland back to England. And he saw where the ship was. And in the dream, an angel of God told him, go find this ship and they will take you back home. So that night, he left the sheep in the wilderness and he took off for that ship. Sure enough, when he got to the place that he had dreamed about, there was the ship. He talked to the people on board the ship to see if they would let him go to England, but he was an escaped slave. They were afraid to. Finally, he talked them into it. And so they took him back home to England. Well, after that, he was a changed person. He decided that he was going to study to be a priest, like one of your pastors here. He studied and he became a priest. And after he became a priest, he had another dream. And in that dream, someone from Ireland appeared. And the person said, come back and walk among us, holy servant boy. Go back to Ireland where he was a slave? Who would be foolish enough to do that? Well, Patrick was foolish enough to do that. Again, he listened to the dream and he followed it. He went back to Ireland and started talking to the people who had held him as a slave about God's mercy and love. And to this day, Ireland is a Christian nation because of a man many, 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 many years ago who was willing to go back and preach love to the people who had treated him badly and hurt him, who had held him as a slave. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, but on St. Patrick's Day, if you happen to wear green, it's not just because you don't want to get pinched. It's to remind you of a man who was brave enough to go back to the people who had enslaved him and share God's love with them. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us folks who show us love and mercy, and for teaching us how to show love and mercy to others. Help us to follow your example in Jesus and the example of Patrick and others as we attempt to love all folks, even those who don't care very much for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. I want to start today with a celebration. As I mentioned last week, Aaron Racine and I spent Monday and Tuesday interviewing candidates for ministry. And although we could not interview those persons who come from this church, two folks who serve at this church were approved. First, Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez was approved for commissioning as a provisional elder, and Stacy's right out here. Yay, Stacy. And Chris Allen, who helped me with the baptism, was approved as a permanent elder. And so those will take place at this coming annual conference of the Tennessee Annual Conference. And we could not be prouder of these folks, and we could not be more blessed to have both of you serve among us. So congratulations. I waited to do that until this point in the service because you may have noticed that the announcements, not everybody's here. Last week when we left St. Paul, he was in quite a terrible situation. We were reading from the book of Romans, and he described it this way: the very thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I hate to do and don't want to do is the thing I do. And he ended up with this cry for help, this plea: "Oh, wretched man that I am," he says, "who will deliver me from this body of death?" Pretty strong language. And then he gives us a clue as to where his hope lies. He offers praise to God through Jesus Christ for the mercy that is shown him, even though he does those things he would rather not do. And he doesn't do those things he knows that he should do. Now, I identify with that. Maybe you do too. I really identify with him. He's being very vulnerable about who he is. One of those few places in scriptures that we see Paul at his weakest, at his most vulnerable. And yet, we don't stay there. We're not left there. Because you see, we have examples of how we move beyond this human situation that we're caught in that leaves us feeling wretched a good part of the time. Perhaps the first example is Jesus. After all, Jesus is someone who showed us how to love folks who don't love us, who showed us how to move beyond to share God's love with even those who disappoint us. Remember, he had dinner with the man who betrayed him, the one who would deny knowing him, and all the rest who would desert him. He was on the cross asking for forgiveness for people who had driven spikes through his wrist and put him up there. That's a pretty strong example. That's a pretty amazing example of loving those who hate us. And that's yet the example that God gives us in Jesus. Now you're going to say, "Yeah, but I'm no Jesus." Well, I'm not either. But you know what? I aspire to be like him. And my guess is you do too, or you would not be here this morning. When we baptize a child, we say that we are going to surround that child with love and prayer so that they can grow up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ all of their days. That's a big promise. But we have made that promise this morning, and we're called to fulfill that promise, which means we aspire to be like Jesus. Well, fortunately, Jesus is not the only example we have. He did it perfectly, but we have examples like Patrick. In the story I told the children, Patrick was taken as a slave, was enslaved for 6 years, escaped. And if I had been him and had escaped, I would never, ever return to slavery, or even the possibility of it, and probably wouldn't have any fond feelings toward the people who had enslaved me. He came back to England, apparently studied theology on the continent. He could have made a career there in Britain. He could have risen to serve the equivalent of West End United Methodist Church. But then he had a dream. And in that dream, one of those figures among the people who had enslaved him came to him and asked him to come back to them. "Come and walk among us again, holy servant boy." Well, by this time, he was no longer a boy. But he had learned what it meant to be a servant, not a slave. You see, he confesses in his little booklet, the earliest piece of Irish writing we have, called the Confessions, that he hated to go to church when he was a kid. His father was a deacon. His family was Christian. They dragged him to church, and he just didn't like it very much. But it was in being taken as a slave on those long nights alone on the hillside, keeping the sheep of someone else, that he learned how to pray. Separated from his family, separated from his country, he was not separated from his God. And on those lonely hillsides, he would continue in prayer through the night, learning to pray that simply God would be with him. When he finally escaped, he became an educated Christian. Not only was he faithful to the church, not only did he find his religion in the context of his slavery, but he found a calling to the priesthood. Having studied for the priesthood, he then went back to the people who had enslaved him, not to condemn them, not to judge them, but to share the great mercy of God, the love of God, even for those who have done us harm. That word began to spread in circle, ever widening, until finally all of Ireland was Christian. He confronted kings, and it was a dangerous thing to confront Irish kings at that time, but he did it. He talked to ordinary people and got them to see that the love of God was stronger than anything else they had experienced, and that to be a servant of God meant that you didn't enslave people. The only other document that we know comes from Patrick is a letter to a general who had come over, a military officer who had come over to take slaves from Ireland. And he was begging that officer to set those slaves free. Patrick didn't drive the snakes out of Ireland. There were none to start with. There's a story of him sticking a walking stick in the ground and it blossoming. My friends, that likely never happened. But he did something much more remarkable. He went back to a people who had enslaved him and mistreated him and shared with them the love and the mercy of God, which is a much more powerful miracle in that time, in the 5th century, the 400s, and in our time as well. But you'll say to me, well, I'm no St. Patrick either. I'm no saint. Well, I'm not either. Fortunately, Jesus and people like St. Patrick aren't the only people who teach us how to move beyond our own brokenness to share the love of God with others. There's a musician named Daryl Davis. Daryl has played with Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis and a lot of the rock and roll and blues and boogie-woogie bands in his time. He grew up as a child of a foreign service officer. And so when he went to school, when he began school, he was in school with all the other children of all the other foreign service officers of all the other embassies in the cities where his parents were assigned. He said it was like going to school at the United Nations. People from all over the world were right there. And then when his father was assigned back in the United States, he wound up in a school where he was one of two African Americans in the entire school, the only one in his class. He didn't really think much about it. Some of his friends got interested in the Scouts, and so he got interested and became a Scout. And then the Scouts were asked to march in a parade. They asked him to carry the flag right in the middle of the group of Scouts. Well, he was very pleased and proud to do that. He was walking along with bands in front and bands behind. They were going down the street. He was carrying the flag proudly when all of a sudden something hit him. He looked down. It was a bottle, a Coke bottle. He kept marching along, and from the other side, a rock came flying at him. Pretty soon, when they saw what was happening, his scout leaders came in and stood and walked around him to create a barrier. He thought to himself, why do people hate the scouts? Didn't make any sense to him. That evening, he talked to his parents about what had happened. They sat him down and gave him what they thought was a lesson in reality. They said, you know, it wasn't that these people hated the scouts. It's that they hated you because of the color of your skin. He said, I thought they were lying to me. That was the silliest thing I'd ever heard. How in the world could they hate me when they didn't even know me? He didn't believe them. But that question stayed with him. How could they hate me if they don't even know me? Well, he went to Howard University, graduated with a degree in music, had a successful career in music. And then one day he was watching a television show on which a Klan official was spewing all kinds of hatred toward African-American people and Jewish people and just about everybody else. And he thought, how can that guy hate me when he doesn't even know me? So he decided to go visit him. He went and visited with the Klan official and sat down and listened to him. He didn't judge him. He didn't condemn him. He listened to him. What he did do was share his own story and his own perspective, his own understanding of the history that they shared. He didn't convince the Klansmen. Of course, the Klansmen didn't convince him, but he asked if he could come back. And he did. Again and again and again. He even attended Klan rallies, as you can imagine, the only dark face among all those white masks. Finally, one day, that Klansman called him and said, I've changed through our conversations, and so I think I'm going to walk away from the Klan. Would you like to have my hood and my outfit? He said, sure. So he gave him his Klan regalia to keep because the man didn't want it anymore. He left that behind by simply being heard. Well, Daryl didn't stop there. When he would see other Klansmen spewing hatred on television, he would go see them and sit down and talk with them and befriend them. In the interview, he was asked, well, how many of these robes do you have? He said, oh, I don't know, 25? Of folks who had hated him, though they didn't even know him, who got to know him and discovered they could no longer hate him or anyone else just because of the color of their skin. When we have received the inestimable mercy of God, then we are empowered to share that mercy. When we were dead in our sins was when God came to us, according to this reading. Not when we were good people, not when we had it all together. When we were dead in our sins, when we were doing the things we didn't want to do and not doing the things that we wanted to do, God came to us and showed us mercy. And it is a gift. It is nothing we earned. It is nothing we deserved. And when that happens, it empowers us to do the same for others. Now, you can tell me you're no Jesus. Okay, I'll buy that. I'm not either. You can tell me you're no St. Patrick, and I'll buy that. I'm not either. You can't tell me you're not a Daryl Davis. There is a documentary about him called Accidental Courtesy. You may want to watch the whole thing. It's a remarkable story of a man who decided that it was absolutely against everything he had been taught and everything he believed in for someone to hate him who didn't know him. And the solution to that was to get to know them. You know, we say that our job is to create disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. If every disciple of Jesus Christ did that, I'll guarantee you the world would be transformed. It would be a different place because we have received mercy. We are empowered to show mercy. Thanks be to God. Sometimes we affirm our faith by using words of Scripture, and we're going to do that today. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 888 in your hymnal, and join with me as we affirm our faith. This is the good news which we have received and in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us share signs of God's love and mercy to each other. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you're here. We hope that you'll join us for fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they're to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are sitting near you and greet anyone that you may not know after the service. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Avery Virginia Smith, who was born February 9th to Ashley and Jared Smith. She's also welcomed by her big sister, Emma Smith. This morning, we remember the friends and family of Sharla Hudson Honia, who died on Friday, March the 3rd. We also remember Lynn, Lewis, William, Betty, and Rebecca Hoyt, who are mourning the death of Lynn's mother, Diane Sieberling Franklin, who died on Friday, March the 3rd. Services were held on Friday at St. George's Episcopal Church. We remember Laura, Peter, Noel, and Annabelle Strions, who are mourning the death of Laura's mother, Karen McCarty, who died Sunday, March the 5th. Services are scheduled for 10 a.m. on Tuesday, March 14th at Brentwood United Methodist Church. Finally, we remember the friends and family of Troy, known as Gus Gillette, who died on Monday, March the 6th. He's survived by his wife, Susie Gillette, and his daughters, Elizabeth and Keegan Gillette. No services have been scheduled. Let us now go before God with our prayers, trusting in the mercy and grace of God, who hears our prayers and works for our good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your great love for us through Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that there is nothing we can do to earn your love, and nothing we can do to lose it. Your grace saves us each day, O God, and we are grateful. We pray now for those who need to hear of your love for them, that our words and actions might be bearers of your loving kindness. And we pray for those who need to be reminded of your love. May your Holy Spirit go before each person, that they might be enfolded by your love and empowered by your grace. We pray for those who are hurting this day, that their wounds might be healed. We pray for those who are searching this day, that they might find answers. And we pray for those who are afraid this day, that they might know safety and peace. O God, we pray for our world, that our leaders might be led by your Spirit to work for the health and safety of all people. May their actions reflect the love which you have for each of us. We pray for those who are hungry, those who are without shelter, those who are ill, those who are isolated and alone. May all come to receive the immeasurable riches of your grace. And may we seek to ensure that they have food, housing, medical care, and supportive community. Guide us, O God, to live out our calling to do good works, not so that we might be saved, but so that we might respond to your grace with gratitude. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who knows us and loves us completely, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have indeed received the immeasurable riches of Christ's grace. Now let us respond by the giving of our tithes and offerings this morning.
And now go forth to show God's mercy to all you meet, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose mercy is over all creation, Jesus Christ, who is God's mercy walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to share God's mercy with others, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.